This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A stabbing on a British train about 2 hours north of London, leaving 10 people in the hospital, say authorities, 9 of them with life-threatening injuries. Unclear what sparked the violence or whether it was terror-related. SNAP, the federal food assistance that millions of Americans rely on, ran dry Saturday. Kendra Davenport, president and CEO of Easter Seals, which provides assistance to people living with disabilities.
Today, it's food and groceries they can't afford. Next week, if this lingers on, people make decisions to buy medicine or not medicine. You know, don't buy medicine. Take their medicine for a month or miss it so that they can swap that out and pay for food.
Police in South Florida arresting a teenage boy after they say they found materials to make an explosive inside of his garage. Detectives say he posted a video on social media threatening to use the device at a neighborhood trick-or-treating event. This is ABC News. 5 people were killed in a fast-moving house fire in Paterson, New Jersey, Halloween night. Firefighters say the blaze started before 10 p.m. and spread quickly. They say 2 adults and 3 children were found dead, and another 11 people who lived at the home are now displaced. ABC's Marcus Solis at the scene.
It appears that the fire started on the ground floor and then quickly moved upstairs. Again, the fire chief says the winds played a role here, made battling this fire tough. And the upstairs area is where they found 3 children, 2 adults, on that second floor. The ages of the children not yet disclosed.
And 2 more people have been formally charged in connection with last month's Louvre Museum robbery. French authorities identified the new suspects as a 37-year-old man and a 38-year-old woman. They were charged with organized robbery and conspiracy to commit organized robbery. Both denied their involvement in the heist. There have now been 4 people in total charged in connection with the case. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Frito-Lays suck.
Fritos? Like, the actual Fritos?
Yeah, the corn ones, you know?
How do you not
they're
like
too salty.
They're salty, but they're corn. They're like the most, I mean, they're the healthiest chip you can have.
They're healthy. Any chips are not great, but those ones to me just taste like salt. I can have one and I'll be like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, but what chip doesn't taste like salt?
Well, I mean, that one's just straight salt, you know?
It's delicious.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
The Bucks bow to the Kings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks lose at home 135-133 to the Sacramento Kings. Some controversy with the referees not making some calls. Milwaukee's Anthony Cole ejected in the fourth quarter after complaining to the referees twice he was fouled. Head coach Doc Rivers mentioned some of the missed calls, but said he would not blame the referees. Bucks center Miles Turner's reaction.
No, I agree with Doc's statement. I mean, I don't think the refs were particularly on par in the fourth quarter especially, but again, you can't put yourselves in positions to leave it up to the refs. But we just got too complacent, I think, defensively. You know, he came out and then just never really settled into a defensive rhythm.
A big game Monday night as the Bucks host the Indiana Pacers. NFL, the Packers host the Carolina Panthers. A surprise trade, former Packers defensive back Jair Alexander was traded by the Baltimore Ravens to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Packers host the Eagles next week on Monday Night Football with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, chilly, lows upper 20s. A mix of sun and clouds and breezy tomorrow, highs in the low 50s. A shower chance tomorrow night. Warmer temps to start next week. More sunshine than clouds and highs into the 50s. Right now it's 27.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a recap of all the weekend news with Civic Media's news director, Sholly Pittman. Special announcement coming up in hour number two. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Cam Stevenson.
I don't think we've seen destruction at the White House like that since 1812.
The only people working hard in Washington, D.C. right now are the demolition workers tearing down the east facade of the White House. Let's bring in a whole demolition crew, Cam. That was, right. I mean, the metaphor of the year.
It's very symbolic to see the symbol of power in the United States demolished.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've been looking forward to this conversation all week. My guest for the next half hour is Yuri Rashkin. He has been operating his own radio show, YouTube show. I don't know what to call these things anymore. We've got all these different platforms, Yuri, called The Rashkin Report. He has been focused on the Ukrainian regions of Crimea and Donbass. He has been spending a lot of time focusing and helping people understand what is actually going on the ground for people that live in those regions, some of the geopolitical context as well as the historical context. He is often sought out by Russian-speaking news outlets that are not controlled by the Kremlin. Yes, there's a few of them that do exist out there. So, Yuri, you're also a Rock County Board of Supervisors supervisor. So first, as someone that worked for Milwaukee County for a very long time and worked with supervisors, let me say thank you for your public service and serving your community in Rock County. And thank you for helping to bring really an insider's perspective to what is going on in both Crimea and Donbass and on a broader level in the Russia-Ukraine war. Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to represent the 16th District of Rock County, downtown Beloit. Come on down. We have an amazing baseball team. We have dining areas, just restaurants. My goodness, downtown Beloit, the place to be. And, of course, Ukraine.
Yes, absolutely. Why did you start doing your show, The Rashkin Report? What caused you? You know, you've got plenty going on. You've lived here for a long time. You were born in Russia. Tell us, what was the catalyst to start sharing your perspectives in this way?
You know, I blame Wart, because I was hosting a regular program on WORT, an amazing radio station that I think many of your listeners and viewers know in Madison. And my schedule changed at UW-Whitewater, and I had to spend more time teaching, which was great, too. And I thought, you know, I really got that bug of hosting a show, and I decided to start a podcast. And I thought, well, maybe it would be interesting to talk about Russia in English. Turned out three people wanted to listen to that. that. I thought, okay, how about we do it in Russian, because that is my first language. I don't speak it much anymore, except, you know, I'm also a court certified interpreter in Wisconsin and Illinois. So other than when I work, I really don't speak Russian. But it was it turned out to be an opportunity for people who wanted to come out. They were looking for a place to speak and a platform, because I am basically the only progressive liberal Russian speaking voice in the United States broadcasting. There really is nobody else, because a vast majority, of well over 90% of Russian speakers are Trump supporters. And so when you have people who are, you know, and I started right in 2016, so it was kind of gaining steam the more the Trump was becoming, in vogue. Every time he became more powerful, more visible, the number of my subscribers went up because people were curious what's going on. What happened is when Russia launched its big invasion of Ukraine in February of 2022, I started paying more attention to Ukraine and started to tell even more focused kind of my attention on informing Ukrainians about what's going on in America politically, because I love American politics, but there's nobody discussing it in Russian in any sort of a sensible way that's not like conspiracy minded outside of a handful of people. So I ended up being invited to Ukrainian TV, Ukrainian YouTube channels to just explain what the heck is going on in America. Because they're being fed this one line, and then, you know, I don't know, Secretary Blinken shows up, or this, or the newspaper, but there's no context. And so I've been doing this for 3 years now, getting invited to these YouTube channels, basically, I think, sustaining Ukrainian economy with viewers and likes, and kind of ended up building my own channel in the process and developed a following, and have close to, you know, I have 177,000 subscribers now on YouTube. And it's been very unexpected, and I'm glad that I have a kind of a niche to fill there by informing people about what's going on in America, especially since Voice of America is gone. So it's what an opportunity.
We have incredible listeners on this network. These are people that are plugged in, that care deeply, and they come from all across the political spectrum, though more on the left. And one of those incredible listeners, Ollie, who frequently reaches out, called during my last segment to say, will you please ask our new friend Yuri what it was like when the Trump administration announced that they would be defunding and shuttering Radio Free America and Voice of America. And when that was happening, I took some time on a couple of my shows to talk about how long those outlets have been around and the incredible importance of those outlets to resistance fighters in World War II, right? And then into the Cold War, how important those voices have been. And the fact that, again, as you pointed out, for a lot of Russian speakers, the outlets that they are getting information from are basically either explicitly, if we're talking about RT, Russia Today, Kremlin directed, there are a lot of what I would call risks for many folks that are trying to speak out in a more objective way. What was that like for you as you were born in Moscow? And someone that deeply cares about this region and Russian-American relations, as well as what's happening in Ukraine. You came here as a 13-year-old kid. This is your home. What was that like, knowing that information is the key to help people understand and hold their governments accountable, whether you are living in Vladivostok or Moscow or in Kyiv?
Maggie, people need information. In no matter what the society is, people want to know what's going on. And Voice of America was, if nothing else, this was the voice of American government. This was the voice of what we want, not just as we have now a missive on Truth Social, but like consistent voice policy flushing it out. Of course, when we don't have that, what would radio station talk about? But Fox News manages. But for me, this was very personal for a couple of reasons, because as a child, I grew up listening to these evil voices from the West, because I was always a very political kid, and I was looking to these, you know, shortwave radios that we had, and I would listen to them at night, and I knew that, you know, I listened to Voice of Vatican and Voice of everybody, because I was just information junkie back then. And to imagine that that voice of America is now missing from there, that hurts, because I know that as a child, how important it was to me to form my understanding of what the world was like. And at the same time, I've, over the last few years, gathered considerable experience being a guest on Voice of America Russian speaking yes. service. So I was kind of like the voice of, not quite Democratic Party, but I had like when there was a debate or some political thing, they'd be like, okay, we need to have Yuri Ryashkin on from this side, and then, you know, somebody else from the other side. And so this was, and of course, this was never any money. This was just an opportunity right. to reach people. And just to have this opportunity to be the voice of, when President Biden speaks, and then that there's what we all think about it. So it was an amazing opportunity, and I'm really thankful for it. But it was difficult. It is difficult. We are missing it. There are some substitutes. There's a Radio Free Europe that continues to function, but I think it's mostly volunteer staffed. This has been a really tremendous assault on our media on all levels. And the more media depends on government subsidies, the more it got hurt when this administration came in.
A question. What parallels are you seeing between Donald Trump's approach, antagonism, sort of aggressive pursuit of censorship of media outlets, constantly assailing, various reporters as fake news and you're stupid, to the approach of Vladimir Putin to control the information that the citizens of Russia have access to?
There's a couple of things. I think, first of all, it's important part of what Donald Trump does and what Vladimir Putin wants to show it is that democracy is just a circus. There's nothing there. That serious people don't play these games. Mm-hmm. The last elections that Putin ran in, he didn't even come to the place where the debates took place because he didn't want to be a part of this clown show. Of course, in the United States, our president is the clown show. So it's a slight difference in approach. The other thing that I find fascinating is when people ask me about the shutdown in Ukraine and they say, look, what's going on between Republicans and Democrats? And I explain to them that it's a kind of similar situation to what's going on between Russia and Ukraine and their ability and inability to sit down and have negotiations, because both sides feel like they're doing pretty well and they can't surrender, and this would be worse to surrender, and so they continue to fight thinking that the luck could, chances are in their favor are pretty good. And so I think that there's some interesting battle lines and similarities that one can find when looking at both of these situations. But the dreadful thing is that with the last administration, insufficiently as that help may have been, and that was part of the problem, because a lot of people were very critical of the Biden approach and Jake Sullivan approach, saying, oh, we're so afraid of Putin because he might escalate. Oh no, we're not going to let Ukraine have more weapons or shoot further or any, we're going to restrict them, and so they don't lose. And then what happens? Then Donald Trump comes to power, and then we have a totally different approach, obviously. The big moment for Ukrainians, honestly, they really believed in Donald Trump, that he was going to come and be different than Biden and have like a different approach that's going to actually fix things and going to, because he demonstrates strength. He was, they thought he's going to
play exit, at least, right. Yes.
Is when this big argument went down with Zelensky in February in White House. I had a stream after that got like a million views because everyone was like, what is going on? And after that, trust was broken. After that, you can talk about different things, but people just kind of feel like we hope that this time he's telling the truth, but we're kind of learning. And this whole 2-week business, Ukrainians are not buying it.
Yeah. Folks, we are with Yuri Ryashkin. He hosts a podcast called The Ryashkin Report on YouTube. He has been featured across numerous Russian-speaking media outlets that are not Kremlin-controlled. Very, very important. He was born in Moscow, came to the United States as 13. At the age of 13, he is currently a Rock County supervisor. He has taught classes at UW-Rock County and UW-Parkside. He works as a Russian interpreter. He also plays the upright bass and piano. We may get to that as a violinist myself. myself. We've got tons of questions. If you've got questions or comments for Yuri, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. One of the things that has happened most recently was this private meeting, unlike the clown show that happened a few weeks ago, between the White House and Volodymyr Zelensky. Reports are that that devolved again into a shouting match with President Trump swearing throughout the meeting. I want to ask you about that. I want to ask you about Tomahawk missiles and Donald Trump's flip-flop on that when we come back. And what actually is at stake, not just for the United States, but for Ukrainians and Russians alike. Don't go anywhere. This important conversation continues on the other side. Join us with your questions or comments. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
The Communist Control Act of 1954, it's pertinent to the fight we're in. It's a tool that needs to be utilized, and they need to support the president in obtaining that objective.
Is Joe Giganti right? Does a U.S. law ban the Communist Party? Yes. The 1954 Communist Control Act bans the Communist Party, labeling it a conspiracy to overthrow the U.S. government. Though rarely enforced and mostly repealed, it remains law. Harvard Law professor Mark Tushnet said it could still be applied. In June, Republicans urged President Donald Trump to use it against New York City mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani, a Democratic socialist. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Matt Nair on Air.
The executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Deb Cronmiller, is here. There is a proposal for an independent commission to draw maps in Wisconsin. What a crazy whacked out idea.
How long have people been talking about getting an independent commission in Wisconsin?
You know, going back to 1971, that was the last time that our legislature and our governor actually agreed on maps.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Civic Media. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are talking this half hour with Yuri Rashkin. He hosts the Rashkin Report on YouTube. You should check it out. I know I'll be tuning in, Yuri, to hear your takes on all things Russian-American relations, as well as the Ukraine-Russia conflict, which is dragging on and dragging on and dragging on and appears to have no end in sight. We all watched almost in real time as Donald Trump and J.D. Vance effectively ambushed Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in the White House a few months back. What we didn't get to watch in real time was the most recent meeting that happened on Friday, October 17th. This one was behind closed doors. Donald Trump was in that room, Steve Witkoff, a number of negotiators, as well as Ukrainian Volodymyr Zelensky. It devolved, into a shouting match at times. This one was just in private. Apparently Donald Trump was cursing up a storm. I remain utterly perplexed by the Trump administration's seeming inability to get their head around one fundamental concept, and that is that you cannot trust what Vladimir Putin will tell you. And the only thing that Vladimir Putin understands in terms of trying to create negotiating leverage is strength. It's power. It would be the support of Ukraine in a very meaningful, clear, and sustained way. That is what is going to bring this conflict to an end. Instead, we literally rolled out the red carpet for the man in Alaska, flyovers, the whole nine. That's a huge win for Putin, right? I get the pomp and circumstance and the red carpet treatment on American soil. Why is it that you think that Republicans, the MAGA movement in this country, do not understand that specifically America's long-term security interest means that we are effectively able to support nations that face existential, imminent, and ongoing threats that are aligned with us from Vladimir Putin? I mean, Ukraine's in that space, but if you look at that region, there are other countries that are clearly very nervous about what is going on in Ukraine. Why can't this fundamental kernel of truth, Putin respects shows of strength and nothing less?
Because we see demonstration of that where Republicans are showing weakness because they can't show strength. I'm so glad that you brought up this point, because for years, even though I've always considered myself a Democrat, the opposition that I'm is a nonpartisan, but those are my preferences, I always found an easy time speaking with Republicans, because when the topic came to national defense, it would be like, we all understand that Russia is a threat. I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? Right. Okay, awesome. So we're on the same page and we understand. And now we see a president who is showing weakness to Vladimir Putin, who is demonstrating that he can't control him, who is acting in a subservient manner to him, and while disrespecting American troops in every possible way. So it's a combination of things that should really make Republicans mad, but it really has been such a proof of a hypocrisy of so much that we hear from that side, because this is a real danger. But similarly to Reagan, who on one hand, when I think about his internal politics, I have a lot of questions, obviously, and I feel that part of the crisis where we are now started with Ronald Reagan. But at the same time, I have deep appreciation, because it was in 1988, during his presidency, that I and my family were able to come to the United States as refugees, as legal refugees, and to become, a citizen that I am now, and grateful to this country for everything it has given me. And I'm grateful to Ronald Reagan. But
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. I mean, right?
Right.
Reagan was probably the pinnacle of Republican hawkishness and understanding the existential threat that the then Soviet Union, now Russia, presented to American security, both in the medium and long term. Americans, and I think the MAGA movement to an extent, this sort of nouveau version of isolationism, but not, we'll cut a $40 billion check to Argentina, that's fine. That there's this, I feel like people have this false sense of security that has been fostered by years of our domestic discussion in politics, not having people, candidates especially, able to speak very clearly to why it matters to someone in Iowa or Wisconsin or Ohio what might be happening in Kyiv or Crimea or Donbass. I think it was made worse by the fact that Obama drew a bright line and then didn't follow up it to enforce the bright line. But I want to just zoom out. Why is this moment, frankly, a tipping point? At least I think it is. If you think it is as well, either Russia will be pushed back and rebuffed, in my opinion, ultimately, through a much stronger support of Ukraine, including Tomahawk missiles, or Russia will be emboldened, and this is not the last territorial grab that we will see executed by Vladimir Putin. Why should people care about this in the United States, Yuri?
Because right now, Ukraine is fighting for our democratic ideals. Democracy is in real peril in the United States, and it really is going to be falling apart if Ukraine falters. Right now, so much European defense, European democracy's existence, in a way, now it depends on Ukraine's survival. And that's just an incredible position to be in versus where we were almost 4 years ago.
Folks, we're going to have to leave it there. Yuri, will you come back very soon to talk about this? Maybe we'll do a longer form discussion, get more of our listeners going. We got Kurt from Madison and Richard on the lines. I'm sorry, gentlemen, that I could not get to your questions. We will take them off the air. Yuri, I will send them to you. We will be in touch. We will share this information. We'll get you set up again to come join us here on this program.
Check out my Substack, Rashkin Report.
Rashkin Report on Substack and YouTube. Check it out when we come back. It's a Friday edition of Ask Maggie. Hollywood.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.7 WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A stabbing on a British train about 2 hours north of London, leaving 10 people in the hospital, say authorities, nine of them with life-threatening injuries. Unclear what sparked the violence or whether it was terror-related. SNAP, the federal food assistance that millions of Americans rely on, ran dry Saturday. Kendra Davenport, president and CEO of Easter Seals, which provides assistance to people living with disabilities.
Today, it's food and groceries they can't afford. Next week, if this lingers on, people make decisions to buy medicine or not medicine. You know, don't buy medicine. Take their medicine for a month or miss it so that they can swap that out and pay for food.
Police in South Florida arresting a teenage boy after they say they found materials to make an explosive inside of his garage. Detectives say he posted a video on social media threatening to use the device at a neighborhood trick-or-treating event. This is ABC News.
The Bucks bow to the Kings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks lose at home 135-133 to the Sacramento Kings. Some controversy with the referees not making some calls. Milwaukee's Anthony Cole ejected in the fourth quarter after complaining to the referees twice he was fouled. Head coach Doc Rivers mentioned some of the missed calls, but said he would not blame the referees. Bucks center Miles Turner's reaction.
No, I agree with Doc's statement. I mean, I don't think the refs were particularly on par in the fourth quarter especially, but again, you can't put yourselves in positions to leave it up to the refs. But we just got too complacent, I think, defensively. You know, we came out and then just never really settled into a defensive rhythm.
A big game Monday night as the Bucks host the Indiana Pacers. NFL, the Packers host the Carolina Panthers. A surprise trade, former Packers defensive back Jaire Alexander was traded by the Baltimore Ravens to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Packers host the Eagles next week on Monday Night Football with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Charlie Sheen has had his struggles on many fronts, but the 2.5 Men star is honest when it comes to not getting one particular role. Sheen and Oliver Stone had talked about him playing Ron Kovic in Born on the 4th of July, and Sheen pretty much thought it was a done deal. But after not hearing from Stone for a while, he heard from his brother Emilio Estevez that Tom Cruise ended up with the role. Sheen said at the time he felt betrayed when he heard the news, and especially when Stone said he thought Sheen had lost interest. Sheen made a point of saying they didn't talk after making a handshake deal for him to play Kovic. Charlie Sheen appears to have no ill will towards Stone these days and praised Cruise's performance as Kovic, adding that he felt it was an Oscar-worthy performance. Cruise was nominated for an Oscar but lost the Best Actor award to the amazing Daniel Day-Lewis. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, chilly, lows upper 20s. A mix of sun and clouds and breezy tomorrow, highs in the low 50s. A shower chance tomorrow night. Warmer temps to start next week. More sunshine than clouds and highs into the 50s. Currently it's 26.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Let's say you have a couple who's about to get married. You get them a gift at the wedding shower. You get them a gift at the wedding. You get them a gift at the baby shower. If they buy a house, you get them a housewarming gift.
I have never been married. I doubt I ever will be. What do? You just say, I'm going to celebrate my singlehood. Bring me a gift. Brett Brown Deere says, Todd, you don't get a gift for not getting married because you already won by staying single.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Busted pencils, fully lettered education talk.
You know, one of those things, and speaking about AI, guess what I did? I used AI to prepare for the show today, Johnny. You know, of course I did. I got it together, put up a little outline. You know, the suggested title, AI, Apocalypse or Opportunity.
But well, you can guess what the AI thinks, Tim.
Yeah. Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts and at civicmedia.us.
Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome filmmaker Doug Prey and actor from Chicago PD, Joel Murray. Great guests to kick off a new week. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Chihuahua, weeknights 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
He did the mash.
What's up, everybody, and happy Halloween. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Do you possibly have trick-or-treaters running around your neighborhood? We certainly do, here broadcasting to you from WAUK 540 AM 100.3 FM. And I've got my senior producer, Jamie Martinson, with me for this Friday special Halloween edition of Ask Maggie. How you doing, Jamie? And happy Halloween.
I'm fantastic. Happy Halloween to you as well. I'm looking at the stream setup right now. Thank you, Jacob, for making things so festive. If you're watching on the Facebook of Faces, YouTube, X,
and the gram,
all of the platforms. Yes, all of those. If you're watching on all of those, you see a lot of festivity happening. We do, in fact, have a lot of trick-or-treaters. We live in that neighborhood, like the neighborhood, right? Where everywhere you go, there's a sidewalk, houses are close by.
Yep.
So I've got doors shut and things, but I'm not going to guarantee you're not going to hear the dog give a little bit of a roo because she's part beagle. So she's got that weird roo bark. And
yes,
I'm listening to the squeals out on the sidewalk by the big picture window by my office right now.
So
it's kind of fun.
Yeah, my folks, they live in a really cottage little Milwaukee neighborhood, sure. Burg, and they have, there's a huge, almost like haunted housey thing contest that goes on between all the neighbors, and a big bonfire in this little triangle park, and they trick or treat at night. We did it on like a Sunday in the middle of the day, and it wasn't all that cool. It was just banging the door. You were going for volume, not experience quality. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I get it. You know, that was the weird part growing up. I didn't really love Halloween. Like, I was usually pretty done after three or four houses. I was kind of like, okay, this is weird. Why am I begging for candy? Even as a really little kid, it just sat weird with me. But, you know, you go
through all
the
fun. And I are of the age where somebody, yes, some jerk somewhere started putting pins and candy, there was all the, you had to take it somewhere to get your
razor
candy
blades
scanned. I mean, what in the hell is wrong with
it
people?
It was weird. It was really weird. Hey, before we get into the questions, though, which are going to be all Halloween themed, by the way, today.
Nice.
I mean, there is a theme here. So if you're listening, as we mentioned online, and you hear the show behind the show, I have to ask, you actually went to band camp, huh? I learned that in the last segment.
Jazz camp. Jazz camp, it's a little bit different. And because it was very mixed instrumentality. So it wasn't just straight up band camp, but I think it counts. It's possible that the, like, violin string orchestra / jazz camp / music theory camp might actually be higher on the dorky meter than just straight up band camp. It might be. And to all of my
fan of American Pie, movies,
oh my
right?
Gosh.
So
yes, to all, anybody who might be listening, from the Neenah-Menasha Oshkosh regions, from the southeastern Wisconsin Milwaukee region, from the State Youth Orchestra, from the music makers, anybody who was at Onaway. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. It was idyllic. And who was at orchestra camp with me and Strolling Strings camps. I love you. Thank you for making that an amazing part of my summers. It was cool because I was there and then I do like basketball camp.
Sure.
You know, gotta paint both ends of the spectrum, you know,
right?
Good times. Thank you, Mom and Dad.
Would it surprise you to learn that I went to writing camp and journalism camps?
No, I would have loved to do that too. But I was just, those were the two camps that I did. It was usually hoops and then the music, but I would have jammed out. I think one year I did like a science camp, learned how to make something fly. That was pretty cool. Very nerdy.
Yeah.
Very nerdy things.
Yeah. Same way. If there was a book involved or I got to read something, I was down for it. And all you had to do was tell me that that's what we were doing for the entire time. And I was good. I was totally good. Now we do have some really good Halloween themed questions while we run down our childhood rabbit hole here.
Yes.
And I want to start with this one because I love this one. It comes to us from Janet, who listens in the Minocqua area. And she wants to know, Maggie, what was your favorite Halloween candy to get in your pail? And she says pail because that's what her kids used. You know, the orange one that looked like a little jack-o'-lantern that you carried around, little black plastic handle. Again, right era. We all grew up with those. So we're going to give you, we'll give you 60 seconds because, you know, I know you're kind of a foodie. So I'm going to imagine that there might be a few extras besides just one favorite. So Jacob, 60 seconds when you're ready.
So this is generationally specific. I loved me some Now and Laters. Those were a big deal when I was growing up. We used to go to the gas station and get them. So when you get the shorty ones during Halloween, those were great. I have always loved a Snickers bar. If you're going to give me any chocolate, sort of regular dime store candy, give me the Snickers. I especially like a good frozen Snickers bar. I've always had to resist the urge when I go to the grocery store. On occasion, you'll see the ice cream Snickers bar in the novelties section of the grocery store. And I'm like, I don't buy the ice cream Snickers bar. But those were my top two. Eventually Skittles, very big fan of some Skittles. But candy was not a huge thing for me. My mom was a really good baker, so there was always fun homemade treats galore around. And my best friend, who lived across the street, what's up, Gretchen? Her mom legit made batches of cookies like every couple of days. She was one of the first moms that got that KitchenAid stand mixer.
Sure, yeah.
Which the pain in the butt for the cookies is the mixing part. It's not
right?
the recipe.
Batter.
Yep. And so there were a lot of cookies that got ate. A lot of cookies.
I was the same way. My mom was a stay-at-home mom with me. So she was involved in everything, and she was incredible, and she made everything all the time. I remember pies were her nemesis, right? Like, she could never do a good pie crust. So then once she figured it out from my great-great-aunt, I'd come home every day from school, and there'd be a new pie in the refrigerator. And to the point where my dad literally had to say to her, you got to stop. Like, you literally have to stop with the pies. We've gained, like, 20 pounds in a month. You have to stop. But I can echo some of that. Like Snickers, yes. Have you tried? I also love a good Milky Way, but here's the caveat to that. They didn't have them when I was growing up, but the dark chocolate Snickers or Milky Ways, I should say. I'm getting so excited. I can't even get the words out. I love candy so much. one of the best, like absolutely delicious.
Anything I can get now in dark chocolate.
It's the
boss. Right now, if I can get like dark chocolate covered toffee, right? Like score bars, but those aren't dark chocolate. But like that is kind of the jam for me right now in my middle-aged palate.
Did you have a least favorite candy? You know, like the one where you would cringe when you'd see it go in your little bucket and you'd be like, oh, my mom.
Almond Joy and Mounds.
See, I love a good Mounds. Not the Almond Joy so much, but I love a good Mounds. I like coconut.
I don't mind coconut, but that was just not. And I did. I also like a Three Musketeers is literally getting thrown back.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't like nougat.
Nougat's weird. It's just fluffy.
What is
in
nougat?
The
is there an agreed upon definition of nougat? See, and is it nougat or nougat?
And now it reminds
me of Ted Nugent.
Nugent
have some sort of weird patent copyright? It's I don't know.
It's very, very strange. No, I'm right there with you. For me, it was anything like the little hard disc candies, you know, like the butterscotches that my grandma would force upon me, the cinnamon discs, or even, you know, because again,
do you like
age,
a root beer barrel though?
No, no, not really.
See, I love a good root beer barrel.
Oh, and like the circus peanuts. What are those? Those shouldn't
no
be
one
a
knows
thing.
What those are. Those are
they
not good.
Be a thing.
I
and
also
honestly,
hate Peeps.
Oh,
I don't
yeah,
know why people like, what is the obsession with Peeps?
They're awful.
Those are disgusting.
And if you give kids any of those things, even now in this day and age, you probably deserve a toilet papered house or egg to the siding. I'm just,
you
I'm
give
just
them the
saying.
The crappy
That's right.
candy.
That's right. That's like giving out a toothbrush on Halloween. Nobody wants that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that
Not
at
so
all.
Much. This one neighbor, her name was Ann Luddington. She was in her 90s when I was a kid. She was lovely. And she would all literally, she'd have like her bowl of change. So you'd get like a handful of her change and candy. It was such a twofer. Miss Ann Luddington, Miss Luddington, I love you. R.I.P. She was amazing. She used to babysit for me
That's
when
awesome.
I was a kid.
That's awesome.
So amazing.
We have somebody over on social media asking us if we've ever tried Divinity. And yes, I've tried Divinity a few times. I don't dislike Divinity.
Is that not really crunchy, like angel food dipped in chocolate?
Yes.
It's weird.
It is weird. I've got a very particular palate. And let me tell you, you put basically anything in front of me and I'm going to eat it. But I have a very particular palate, especially when it comes to my candies and my sweets. I mean, let's be realistic.
Divinity, that is a blast from the past. Like, I haven't seen Divinity in a long time.
Yeah.
I remember probably feeling like I was about to, like, pop a filling out or, like, chip a tooth with the Divinity. I mean, that stuff is, like, rock
hard.
We're
getting question marks over on social media, so maybe we're not in the right vein. So if anybody can tell us what Divinity is, because we obviously have no idea, please do.
Really? That's not what I would have sworn.
I guess not. I guess not. Over on our text line, Scott says that we back to the camp conversation. Some of us went to swing choir camp in our youth.
Oh, that sounds groovy.
I know. That sounds kind of fun. I was not talented enough to sing and or dance or do both at the same time. So that would not. Debate camp is where I spent a lot of
camp.
My summers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Divinity is the white stuff that's made with sugar, corn syrup, and water boiled together, a pinch of salt. Sometimes they put nuts on top of it. I
so
think
soft
it's
and
chewy.
Puffy.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go find me some Divinity because I clearly don't know what
I guess
the hell that is.
We
swing
learned
camp.
Something today.
Yeah. I would imagine there was a lot of like very jaunty hat wear and scarf wear at swing singer band
swing
camp.
Choir, yeah.
Swing choir camp. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to say a lot of vests, a lot of maybe glitter.
A lot
too.
Of vests, maybe a Sequins? Cummerbund or two.
Yeah, for sure. I had a lot of very talented friends who spent a lot of time in high school in swing choir, and they were amazing.
Before Anna Kendrick made it super popular.
They won a lot of awards. They were super cool, super talented, and I just don't have that kind of talent. I just don't. No, we have another question we have to get
Let's get it
here
in. Let's
today.
Get it.
All right. This comes to us from Sarah in North Freedom, and she wants to know, when it comes to handing out Halloween candy, Maggie, do you prefer a fun size, regular size, or the king size? We'll give her 30 seconds for this one, Jacob, when you're ready.
I go fun size, but like the best possible candy. Meaning, like, you're going to get good stuff. I'm not going to buy the discount stuff, but I'm going to go fun size. You know, it's the egalitarianism for me that I'm like, I want to spread the wealth, but you're going to get the good stuff. No cheaping out on the candy, always the good stuff. The unfortunate thing is, while I am moving, right now I don't live in a place where we get many trick-or-treaters, but I am looking forward to my new neighborhood next Halloween because there will be lots of trick-or-treaters. And I'm super, super excited about that.
Costco, big bags, pounds of them. That's what we've had to do in a few of our neighborhoods, including the one we're currently in. Just
pounds of candy.
Tons of candy.
Folks, if you want to get a question in for our Friday Ask Maggie segments, we get to one or two a week. Jamie curates all of them. You can send those in at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Again, you got questions, we got answers, or at least some fun banter about it. Askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You can always zip them in on the text line as well. Coming up, we got Terry Barr for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin as we close out this Friday Halloween edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Networks.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Matt Nair on air.
Also, I wanted to share real quickly just a text that came in from Andrew in Maine. One of the many favorable features of Civic Media is the various hosts' willingness to engage listeners via text, calls, comments, allowing a feeling of conversation instead of being talked at. Thank you, Jane, Greg, Boardlord, and Dan, along with the rest of Civic Media staff and admin. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Civic Media.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Tell me something good.
It's Friday. We always mean something good by the end of the week. And so we are here again, friends. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined on Fridays in this very time slot by my good friend and civic colleague, Terry Barr, for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome back, Terry.
Hi there, Maggie, and hello to all the listeners and the viewers. And how about if we talk about pumpkins, since, you know, it is fall and Halloween?
I love a good pumpkin discussion. Lay it on me, Terry.
You're we go. So you're seeing pumpkins for sale everywhere or on people's porches, all decorated. But here's something I recently learned about that I did not know. So I'm excited to share this with you. Wisconsin is home to some of the most giant pumpkin growers. And these folks are setting records, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country and the world. I talked to one of these growers from Markesan, and his name is Mike Schmidt. And here is what he told me about why this is such a big deal.
We're really like a social club that all enjoy the hobby of growing giant pumpkins and teaching people about growing giant pumpkins.
Has this year been a good year for giant pumpkins?
Yeah, like the biggest pumpkin grown in the state this year was 2,491 pounds. That's a little shy of the state record. The state record is 2,551. So anytime you get close to the state record, you know, one can assume that the year was pretty good. The big factor is the amount of care that goes into these pumpkins. I always told people, like, when I first started out, like, each pumpkin that I grew, and I started out growing three pumpkins, at peak time was taking me 10 hours a week. So I could be putting in 30 hours a week to grow three pumpkins. Now I'm a little better, a little more efficient on that. You know, it's probably closer to 6-7 hours per pumpkin per week. And that's at like a really competitive level. Like, you know, if you didn't want to do that, you didn't have to do that, but you might not be able to expect as big a result. Wow. So yeah, a lot of it's just the care and effort and that goes into it.
What is he doing?
2,500 pounds.
What occupies one's time? Are you talking to the pumpkin? Are you massaging the pumpkin vines, fertilizing, watering? What, 6 to 7 hours per pumpkin?
I know. And it paid off for Mike. He did win the very first year he entered one of the competitions. He won as like the novice grower of the year.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know. And he does give the seeds from his pumpkins away so other people can grow these big pumpkins and he'll talk you through it. But right now there are at least 200 growers in Wisconsin that are really into this and are part of this giant pumpkin growers group. There's a group. And, you know, they say that it's just really, really fun. And I think what Mike described as, like you were saying, do they sit and talk to the pumpkin kind of like a plant?
Right.
Mike said on the really good growing days, these pumpkins can put on 50 pounds a day. And you can actually sit and watch it as it grows. This just blows my mind. But
it is kind of mind-boggling. But yeah. My neighbor's got a puppy that's going to be an enormous dog, and I thought I could literally almost watch the puppy growing as it walked down the block. But watching a vegetable grow in real time sounds pretty trippy. They need, you know how they do, Alaska does, like the big fat bear contest cam where they see which one like packs on the most poundage each. They should do some like live stream. It's the pumpkin cam and we can watch the pumpkin grow. Listen, you throw a little like ASMDR or maybe the sound of the pumpkin growing and I'm sure there's like, an audience for on YouTube.
Would, I think, love it. Such a great distraction, too. Mike said he would come home from work and take a cocktail and just go sit out by the pumpkin.
Go connect. Put in some quality time with your ginormous pumpkin. Oh, my Lord.
See the things you don't know.
Yeah, things we obviously need to know about pumpkins that grow 50 pounds in a day. My head is just, that's 2 pounds an hour.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know it is. And they don't waste the pumpkin either.
Oh,
they carve it for Halloween. He once had a 1,000-pound pumpkin on his front porch, which he said was a total blast because everybody was kind of like, what?
That was even, is that? Yes.
Yeah. then again, giving away the seeds and also using it as animal feed, because there are a lot of animals that actually enjoy eating a pumpkin.
Including little doggies. Little doggies love some pureed pumpkin. It's very good for their digestive system. I know my little Finny loves her some pumpkin. It's quite the treat for her. All of this has made me think of, and I think I'm going to do this now. You've inspired me, Terry. One of my absolute favorite things to make every fall is butternut squash soup.
Oh,
but I always use my pumpkin seeds to make pepitas, and I spice the heck out of them. Like, think cayenne. Lots of you know, like Himalayan, like big salt, big grain salt, and then some cayenne toasted up to make the toasted pepitas. And then I put that on top of the butternut squash soup.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
Right? With a little bit of like creme fraiche and some chives. And I'm going to tell everybody, this is the secret ingredient for all of your fall chilies, especially red tomato-based chilies, as well as your squash soups. This is the ingredient. And just a dab will do you. Just a little pinch of this. And it is ground clove.
No kidding.
It adds like this wonderful depth of flavor and people will be like, what is this? Tastes different. And just don't tell anybody. And if you do, tell them you heard it here on the Maggie Dawn Show with Terry Barr here every Friday for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Happy Halloween, Terry. Have a great weekend.
You too. And everyone listening as well to you.
Folks, that's going to do it for us. Pete Schwab is up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Have a safe Halloween.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A stabbing on a British train leaving 10 people in the hospital, say authorities, 9 of them with life-threatening injuries. Happened about 2 hours north of London. ABC's Marcus Moore has the latest.
This happened about 2 hours north of London. The train stopping at a station in the town of Huntingdon. A large emergency response with dozens of police officers and a number of ambulances dispatched to the scene. Police have arrested 2 suspects. UK's prime minister calling the incident appalling and deeply concerning. It's unclear what sparked the violence or whether it was terror related. The investigation is just beginning. Marcus Moore, ABC News, London.
As we go even deeper into the government shutdown, now SNAP food assistance for over 40 million Americans drying up this weekend. And a nail-biter, Will Smith's 11th inning homer in Game 7 lifting the LA Dodgers over the Toronto Blue Jays to repeat for their second year as World Series champions. Final score, 5-4. This is ABC News.